child.
Thank you for the ride. It was most enjoyable. But why have you brought me to this tower? And where's Eustace?
I'm here, Jill.
Oh.
We seem to be doing an awful lot of flying lately.
I should say.
Now I think we're all here. Let us hold a parliament of owls. Ooh.
I suppose all you chaps, owls I mean, know that King Caspian X, in his young days, sailed to the eastern end of the world. Well, I was with him on that journey. With him and Reepicheep the Mouse and the Lord Drinian and all of them. I know it sounds hard to believe, but people don't grow older in our world at the same speed as they do in yours. And what I want to say is this, that I'm the king's man, and if this Parliament of Owls is any sort of plot against the king, I'm having nothing to do with it.
Oh, we're all the king's owls. Ooh.
What's this all about then?
It's only this, that if the Lord Regent, the Dwarf Trumpkin, hears you're going to look for the Lost Prince, he won't let you start. He'd rather keep you under lock and key.
Great Scott! You don't mean that Trumpkin's a traitor?
No, no, Trumpkin's no traitor. But more than 30 champions, knights, centaurs, good giants and all sorts have at one time or another set out to look for the lost prince, and none of them have ever come back. And at last the king said he was not going to have all the bravest Narnians destroyed in the search for his son. And now nobody is allowed to go.
Oh, but surely he'd let me go. When he knew who I was and who had sent me.
Sent both of us?
Yes, I think very likely he would. But the king's away, and Trumpkin will stick to the rules. He's as true as steel, but he's deaf as a post and very peppery. You could never make him see that this might be the time for making an exception to the rule.
Oh, how long is the king going to be away?
If only we knew. You see, there's been a rumour lately that Aslan himself has been seen in the islands, in Terebinthia, I think it was. And the king said he would make one more attempt before he died to see Aslan face to face again and ask his advice about who was to be king after him. But we're all afraid that if he doesn't meet Aslan in Terebinthia, he'll go on east to the Seven Isles, Lone Islands, and on and on. He never talks about it, but we all know he has never forgotten the voyage to the world's end. And I'm sure, in his heart of hearts, he wants to go there again.
Then there's no good waiting for him to come back.
Oh, no good. Oh, what to do, what to do. If only you two had known and spoken to him at once, he'd have arranged everything. Probably give you an army to go with you in search of the prince.
Well, we'll just have to manage without. But there's just one more thing I want to know. If this owl's parliament, as you call it, is all fair and above board and means no mischief, why does it have to be so jolly secret, meeting in a ruined tower in dead of night and all that?
Well, where else should we meet? When would anyone meet except at night? It would be unnatural to meet during the day, in blazing sunlight, when everyone ought to be asleep.
I take your point. Well, now, let's get on. Tell us all about the lost prince.
An old owl, not Glimfeather, came forward and related the story. About 10 years ago, when Rillian, the son of Caspian, was a very young knight, he rode with the queen, his mother, on a May morning in the north parts of Narnia. They had many squires and ladies with them, and all wore garlands of fresh leaves on their heads and horns at their sides. In the warm part of the day, they came to a pleasant glade, where a fountain flowed freshly out of the earth, and there they dismounted and ate and drank and were merry. After a time, the queen felt sleepy, and they spread cloaks for her on the grassy bank, and Prince Rillian with the rest of the party went a little way from her, that their tales and laughter might not wake her. And so, presently, a great serpent came out of the thick wood and stung the queen in her hand. All heard her cry out and rush towards her, and Rillian was first at her side. He saw the serpent gliding away and made after it with his sword drawn. It was great, shining, and as green as poison, so that he could see it well. But it glided away into thick bushes, and he could not come at it. So he returned to his mother and found them all busy about her. But they were busy in vain, for at the first glance of her face, Rillian knew that no physician in the world would do her good. As long as the life was in her, she seemed to be trying hard to tell him something. But she could not speak clearly, and whatever her message was, she died without delivering it. It was then hardly 10 minutes since they'd first heard her cry. They carried the dead queen back to Caer Paravel, and she was bitterly mourned by Rillian and by the king and by all Narnia. The queen had been a great lady, wise and gracious and happy, King Caspian's bride, whom he'd brought home from the eastern end of the world. And men said that the blood of the stars flowed in her veins. The prince took his mother's death very hard. After that, he was always riding on the northern marches of Narnia, hunting for that venomous serpent to kill it and be avenged. No one remarked much on this, though the prince came home from these wanderings looking tired and distraught. But about a month after the queen's death, some said they could see a change in him. There was a look in his eyes, as of a man who'd seen visions. And though he'd be out all day, his horse didn't bear the signs of hard riding. His chief friend among the older courtiers was the Lord Drinian, who had been his father's captain on that great voyage to the east parts of the earth.
Your Highness?
Yes, Lord Drinian?
Well, you must soon give over seeking the serpent. There is no true vengeance on a witless brute as there might be on a man. You weary yourself in vain.
My lord, I have almost forgotten the serpent these past 7 days.
Why, if that were so, do you ride so continually in the northern woods?
My lord, I have seen there the most beautiful thing that was ever made.
Fair prince, of your courtesy, let me ride with you tomorrow, that I also may see this fair thing.
With a good will.
The next day they saddled their horses and rode at a great gallop into the northern woods and alighted at that same fountain where the queen had been bitten by the serpent. Drinian thought it strange that the prince should choose that place of all places to linger in. And there they rested till it came to high noon. And at noon, Drinian looked up and saw the most beautiful lady he had ever seen. She stood at the north side of the fountain and said no word, but beckoned to the prince with her hand, as if she bade him come to her. She was tall and great, shining, and wrapped in a thin garment as green as poison. And the prince stared at her like a man out of his wits. But suddenly, the lady was gone. Drinian knew not where, and the two returned to Caer Paravel. It struck Drinian's mind that this shining green woman was evil. Drinian knew he ought to tell this adventure to the king, but he had little wish to be a blab or a talebearer. And so he held his tongue. But afterwards, he wished he had spoken, for next day, Prince Rillian rode out alone. That night he did not return, and from that hour no trace of him was ever found in Narnia or any neighboring land, and neither his horse, nor his hat, nor his cloak, nor anything else was ever found.
Lord King, slay me speedily as a great traitor. For by my silence, I have destroyed your son.
Drinian, I have lost my queen and my son. Shall I lose my friend also?
Such was the story of Rillian.
Oh, I bet that serpent and that woman were the same person.
True, true. We think the same as you, but we don't think she killed the prince.
We know she didn't. Aslan told me he was still alive somewhere.
Oh, that almost makes it worse. It means she has some use for him and some deep scheme against Narnia.
What makes you think so?
Long, long ago, at the very beginning, a white witch came out of the north and bound our land in snow and ice for 100 years. And we think this may be some of the same crew.
Very well, then. Jill and I have got to go and find this prince. Can you help us?
Have you any clue, you two?
Yes, we know we've got to go north. And we know we've got to reach the ruins of a giant city. Oh! What's wrong with everyone?
Well, I believe what the Parliament is trying to say is that they're sorry that they themselves cannot go with you on your search for the lost prince. But you would want to travel by day and they would want to travel by night. It wouldn't do.
Well, whether you come or not, we still have to go. How do I find this ruined city of giants?
Oh, if you want to go that way to Ettinsmore, we can take you to one of the marsh wiggles. They're the only people who can help you much. Come along then. I'll take one. Who'll take the other? Oh, it must be done tonight.
Oh, I'll take one, Glimfeather, but only as far as the marsh we go.
Right. Are you ready?
I am. So am I.
Then off we go.